All right, let's just do it.
Okay.
Fuck it, we're doing it live. All right. Hey, y'all. Hey, y'all. What y'all doing there now today?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we're coming in hot.
We are, yeah. I'm looking forward to this story today.
You are?
I am. Really? Yeah. I like these old
times. Oh, by the way, I'm Mike and this is Keith.
Oh, yeah. Hi, sorry,
we're like
yeah.
10 minutes in. Oh, by the way. We shouldn't this even just mention it. That's how we just don't even introduce ourselves to now.
Just straight in.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the way to do it, man. Yeah, I'm looking forward to this one. It's I like these old timey crimey ones.
Mm-hmm.
But when I was getting into it. So before we get into the actual story today, I came across another mystery.
Which
I think you might enjoy. It's
okay.
It's a bit short, but
all right.
I think
this is a mystery. I have no. This is fresh for me, folks. Okay, I'm locked in.
Okay. Have you ever heard of the Kentucky meat shower?
Is that when random meat fell from the sky?
Yes, we have.
Okay, let's move on. I know the story. No, Keith, no, you can stop talking right now. No, Keith, you go. It was like a random like bits of meat or some shit fell from the sky or something.
Yeah, so let me take you back to the year 1876. So the Kentucky meat shower was an incident occurring for a period of several minutes between 11 a.m. and 12 p.m. on March 3rd. Where chunks of red meat just fell from the sky in a 90 to 45 meter area.
Wow.
The event was witnessed by one farm wife whose yard was scattered with chunks of flesh described as to fill a horse wagon full.
Wow, it's a lot of meat.
I assume so. I don't know what a horse wagon. I assume it's quite big.
I presume it's, I mean, yeah. What kind of meat was it?
Well, that's the thing. So at the time of the meat rain, locals, they were puzzled about what could have caused it. And to try and determine what kind of meat it was, they had some guesses. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, some people tried it. And the guesses, they range from mutton to bear meat. Some were brave enough to eat it. They said it might have been deer or bear or horse or possibly human.
Wow. But definitely not chicken.
No, I think it knows.
Just go to. Yeah, yeah. Well, it's a dark meat, obviously.
Yeah,
it's like red meat.
Yeah, yeah. Dark meat.
Wow.
No idea what it was.
Maybe, was it delicious? Can we get some more of them?
Well, nobody said it was delicious.
Oh.
I think they just tried it. I don't think they made it into like a meal.
They just like picked it up off the ground and started gnawing on it.
Basting it in butter.
Yeah, yeah.
Throwing a bit of
thyme and shit on their lemons or whatever.
Bit of garlic cloves.
Yeah.
Delicious.
Oh, by the way, for the folks who don't, I don't think they know that about Keith.
Mm.
He's a real foodie.
I do like food.
Keith is a very good cook. You are, actually. We used to have our little dinner dates.
We did,
when our wives weren't around.
Yeah.
And Keith's a very good cook. He loves, you're always mad trying new food and recipes and shit.
Yeah. It's funny because I always try new food at home. Where, like, you know me, like when I'm out and about, I just always just go to.
Yeah, you're a terrible eater, like when it comes to eating it.
I am.
I
just go to what I know.
Basic bread, please.
Yeah. I thought we went to this really nice.
Yeah, about, a month ago, we went out for dinner.
This lovely Japanese restaurant.
And all before, you were like, yeah, I'm going to try that thing.
Yeah.
And then as soon as we got there.
A classic curry.
Yeah. I was like, the thing you always get.
A chicken. Chicken classic curry.
Chicken
please.
And rice, please. It's like, all right.
And then you had all like the nice pear wines and stuff, and I was like, Heineken. Bottle of Heineken, please.
Why didn't even that, if I think that was exotic, it was just like a ramen, freaking pork ramen. It wasn't even that like strange or weird.
I
really.
Know. Well, it was a lot more exotic than my chicken curry.
Yeah.
My basic bitch chicken curry. Which was delicious, by the way.
Yeah, I'm sure it was. Well, I'm a.
I knew it would be, that's why.
Yeah. Well, hey, listen, you always got to go to classics. You
that's
know,
true.
Never be disappointed.
Exactly.
You know, stay in your lane.
That's it, man. That's it. Aim low and never be disappointed.
That's exactly it. That's it. Well, hey, listen, speaking of aiming low and never being disappointed, that's kind of what this guy in this video, or this fucking, I'm so used to talking about videos. That's what this guy in this story kind of did. Otto Sanhuber, the Batman, the ghost in the garret.
Yeah.
He aimed low and he was never disappointed.
That's true. Yeah, that's a good segue in, man. Good
Thank
segue.
You.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'm working on my segues.
Yeah, it was good. It was good. Yeah.
Thank you. Well, let's let the listeners decide. If you like that segue, let me know. And if you didn't like it, I don't care.
Keep it yourself.
So, to set the scene, on a hot summer evening, August 22nd, 1922, if you can believe that. August 22nd, 1922. What do you think happened that day, Keith, in history? Not this story. Something else. It was not the day the Ice Age ended.
No.
I know that's what you were going to say.
Yeah, that was spring. What date was that? I can't remember. August 22nd, 19... I don't know. What happened?
Benito Mussolini marched on Rome.
Oh, okay.
There you go.
Oh, I can't believe I forgot that.
I know. Dumbass.
So stupid.
Anyways. So that day, Dolly and Fred Osterreich, I'm not going to say it that way every time, by the way. I'm probably going to butcher the pronunciation of their name. They got back to their home Their home was located at 858 North Andrews Boulevard in the City of Angels. LA, they call it. They got home after a night of partying with friends. And this was 1922 partying. You know, you got like Gatsby partying.
Yeah, she's probably
What were those things called that women dress the style for women back in the 20s? What's that called again?
The roaring 20s. It was...
What's that called?
It was a lot of frilly stuff, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. They had the short hair. Yes. What's that style called? 1922.
This is called the 1920s style.
No, it had a name for it.
People are like screaming at the moment.
Yeah, I know. Flappers. That's flappers, what it is. Flappers. Yeah, yeah. So they look kind of cool. And so Fred, Dolly, they're out there drinking cocktails at the bars where everything was Art Deco, very noir LA style. And then they got home this night to their house. However, upon entering the door, suddenly Fred found himself staring down a ghost from his past in their living room. Only this ghost was aiming two guns square at him. Very nice, by the way. Dual action. That's pretty cool.
That's it, yeah. When one just won't cut it.
Exactly. You gotta have two. Why have one gun when you can have two? That's what I say.
You gotta back up. Why not three?
Yeah. Hey, listen. Go with four. Keep going. Come on. How high can we take this? So why this ghost with two guns was there, why he was aiming the guns at them, and what happened next uncovered one of the most bizarre and unbelievable stories you could imagine. So buckle up, buckaroos.
This is a wild story.
This is a really wild story.
It's very good.
This is one when Keith, by the way, fair play to you, did all the research for this one. So when I was reading through your research, this is definitely a story where I was like, holy shit. Like, I couldn't believe some of the shit that happens in the story. But you know what? Let's stop blowing our load and let's get into it.
Okay. No more tangents.
No more tangents.
Well, we'll see.
Yeah, exactly. Keith, what's your favorite type of frog? You know, that's my mic.
That's gotta be a bullfrog, isn't it? Yeah.
This scandalous story kicks off in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, aka Brew City. Hey, listen, it's Miller time, am I right? And it revolves around a particularly seductive homemaker known as Dolly. Good golly, it's Dolly. Born in 1880, Dolly Korshelly. I would change my fucking name too if my name was Wahlberger. Yeah. Her parents hated her.
I don't even know where Dolly came from, because it was Wahlberger for ages, and then out in Norwich it was just Dolly.
Yeah, I mean Wahlberger. I mean, I don't think there's any kind of like way you can kind of cutify. Wahlberger.
Wally.
That's it. I mean, for a woman, that's not a good name.
No,
a man could probably get away with Wally. Wally. Yeah, Walter. Wally.
Wally.
Woman, it's not great. Berga? Come on.
It's even worse.
So she, Dolly. Dolly was a German immigrant who grew up in the Milwaukee, Wisconsin area. And this part of America back then, like it is today, it's surrounded by a community of fellow German immigrants. It's a very heavily German part of America. And in her early 20s, she tied the knot with Fred Osterreich, another German immigrant who happened to be the affluent owner of a thriving apron factory, a fact which I'm sure did not slip by our Dolly's attention. See, funnily enough, by the way, Fred, German immigrant, his surname Osterreich means Austria. So which is it, Fred, you piece of shit? So the couple made their home in Milwaukee, but the marriage between Fred and Dolly, it wasn't exactly a walk in the park. Fred was both a workaholic, yeah, I mean, he owned his own factory, and an alcoholic. Hey, listen, best of both worlds, if you ask me. And Fred, he was often at work, and he left Dolly feeling lonely and, hey boys, sexually unfulfilled. Aprons came first before Dolly. That's what happened, I guess. So from the start of their marriage, rumors swirled about Dolly entertaining various lovers at home while Fred was busy at the mills. You see, Dolly, she had an insatiable sexual appetite. She was one for deeds of the flesh, might say.
Oh, she was.
And Fred didn't quite meet her needs in the bedroom. Now, newspapers would later, years later, label her as a, quote, naughty vamp, which I like that.
Yeah, it's good.
And also comely. Is that a compliment, comely?
Oh, we've read it's comely. That's
comely?
It's probably not that, though.
I mean, that sounds even worse.
But it fits.
Okay, that's true. Very true. The LA Times even commented, her eyes and her appetites would bring a long line of men into her life. So, she, reading between lines, she was a hooah. That sounds a bit harsh. But you'll soon find out that Dolly is far from innocent in this man. She gets up to.
Oh, yeah, it's okay. She's not a nice person.
So. Yeah, exactly. So we can slut shame her all we want, guys. It's fine. Oh, and by the way, I'll be the judge of this, by the way, of what people wrote about her. Have a Google. To folks at home who are listening to this, even if you're driving, have a quick Google on your phone. It's fine. Have a Google of Dolly Oesterreich and just see what she looked like, because boy, she busted. You know, yeah, she is. Yeah. The standard of naughty vamp must have been pretty low back in 1920, whatever. She was. Yeah,
like it was apparently like in her younger years, she was very. Because she was. There was
even I suppose in this picture, I mean, yeah, she looks like she's middle aged in this picture, but oh boy. Woof.
Like before she met Fred, she had a lot of male attention, though.
I mean, maybe there was just no. Which women around. Either the standard for hotties back in the 20s was extremely low.
Yeah.
I mean, people lived like nothing back then. Probably had, if you had two teeth, you were like the hottest chick in town. So anyways, enough about Dolly. Well, actually, let's talk some more about Dolly. So Fred was at work all the time. And so all the other fellows would go by, hey, Dolly, go get their little nuts sucked, whatever. Having a good time. But there's nothing wrong with it.
No. She was married.
Oh, yeah, okay, there is something wrong with it.
Yeah. Okay. Like before all, like you do you, Dolly, you know?
Yeah.
Go for it, but she was married at this stage.
Yeah, that's true. Moving on. Well, this is why it's always fun to do stories from 100 years ago, because you can really say what you want about these people, and I'm not going to offend anybody. So, one day, right, while Dolly was at the factory, a sewing machine broke down. This is when Dolly first laid eyes on 17-year-old Otto Sanhuber, the young repairman who worked for her husband. Now, it's thought he was of German-Jewish descent and he had been adopted into the Sanhuber family, although his birth name was likely Weir. Dolly, who was in her 30s at this stage, was immediately attracted to the soft-spoken and shy boy.
Mm. So Dolly and Fred, they did have a son called Raymond, but unfortunately he died in his early teenage years due to, from what I read, it was like a lung illness. Mm. It wasn't too specific, I think back in the 20s, yeah. Just a lung illness.
Black lung.
Yeah. However, like some of the materials I came across regarding this case suggested that she might have been initially drawn to Otto because he reminded her of her late son.
Which is incredibly creepy.
It is very creepy. But he was an orphan as well. So I think he wanted to be mothered and she, yeah, very weird.
Yeah.
Because like Otto, he wasn't a very handsome lad. So they reckon that she may have had these maternal feelings towards him mixed in with grief, which then developed into an attraction. But yeah, I really hope that isn't the case, because what they go on to do together is that Todd is pretty sick.
Yeah, that's gross. That's pretty gross. So I hope she, yeah. Swiftly moving on. So in 1913, Dolly, pretending there was a problem with her sewing machine, asked Fred to send Otto over to the Oesterreich stately home to make a repair. However, when Otto showed up, Dolly greeted him at the door wearing only a robe and stockings. Wee. She was in the nip.
Nothing but a smile.
Very nice, yeah. And so this was the beginning of Dolly and Otto's passionate affair, which would eventually end murderously.
Nice.
Over the next 3 years, the factory boss lady and the handy repairman kept their little romance under wraps. Dolly would sneak off to Otto's boarding room sometimes, and they'd splurge on a cozy hotel getaway. Otto often dropped by Dolly's place when she was sick or her hubby was off to another one of his late-night lodge meetings. Otto once claimed that the two once made love no less than 8 times in a single ecstasy-filled night. Sounds like a lot of fun. I'm glad they were having a good time. And then you remember he was 17, being groomed, she was 33, who may have been into him because he looked like her son.
Yeah, messed up.
Yeah. So things, they couldn't keep chugging along as they were forever. A nosy neighbor caught on to young Otto's frequent visits and eventually spilled the beans to Fred. Suspicious, Fred decided to have a chat with his wife, Dolly. But Dolly, cool as a cucumber, spun a tale about a pesky book salesman bothering her, claiming she shut down his visits and he wouldn't be a problem anymore. Dolly then thinking, how am I going to get Otto over nowadays with the frickin' nosy pizza around? She hatched a genius plan. fucking hell, suggested Otto, hey, listen, I got a space for you right here, pal, move into the attic to avoid any further prying eyes. She sweetened the deal by mentioning free room and board for Otto. Plus, it meant he could be closer to his beloved Dolly all the time. Sure, Otto had to give up his repair gig, but who cares? He had his own dreams of becoming a right whore. And so this arrangement would give him all the time in the world to hone his skills. Listen, stay up in the attic, write your little scribble, do your little scribbles, and then you come down and you bang Dolly.
Yeah.
Doesn't get much better than that, right? Up in the attic, they spruced things up a bit, tossed in an oil lamp, a cozy mattress, and even a pot to piss in. Otto also brought along some reading materials and basic writing supplies. So, during the day, Otto played Mr. Clean. He tackled all sorts of household chores, like sweeping, dusting, dishwashing, veggie peeling, preparing stuff, you name it. Man about the house. When the Osterreichs hit the town or Fred was off doing his own thing, Otto could finally stretch his leg. You know, he could sneak out of his hideaway for some nighttime strolls, do whatever. And Dolly made sure to slap a padlock on the attic door, holding onto the key herself to make sure Fred didn't accidentally stumble up into the attic. So Otto was basically kind of a slave. Mm. Slave to Dolly. Not just a sex slave, a slave in all ways. And he was just too young to kind of realize it.
Yeah. He was like, this is a sweet deal. But I was like, no, this is
Yeah, you're a slave. You're Dolly's slave. You have to do all the shit around the house for her during the day and then have sex with her.
Yeah.
Or whatever. Like, if you switch to genders around, you got some Joseph Fritzl type shit.
Yeah. That's the point I was trying to get at earlier.
Okay, right. Yeah.
We got there in the end.
Hey. Dolly, I guess she made it work. She must have been, she could do it all. Obviously for Otto, anyway, she was blowing his mind. So when Fred did inquire about the lock on the attic, what's the story with that? She replied, just want to keep my furs safe, my dear. Dolly had her factory gig to tend to, so she wasn't home all the time, but she conveniently played the sick card now and then, giving her and Otto some quality time together. Yep, I know what you're thinking. I can see no disadvantages to this arrangement. However, there was a bit of a downside to this setup. Otto found himself living right above the woman he adored and her husband. So whenever the mood did strike Fred to have a roll in the hay with Dolly, Otto just had to do his best to, put the fingers in the ears and block out the noise. But, listen, must not have been that bad because Otto, he ended up staying in that attic for 5. Not days, not weeks. He stayed up there for 5 years.
Wild, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like Otto, as you said earlier, he ended up this sex slave for Dolly. Later, Otto, he described what an average day for him would be like. So I know you mentioned some of this already, but from his words, he said, I made up the beds and changed the linen about 2 times a week. They love to sleep clean. And I made up the beds for them and put away their clothes and dusted Fred's clothes because he had some beautiful things. And I would keep them in order for him and dust them and dust his shoes, so he would always look neat.
And then taking care of him, I guess.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. Then I would wash the dishes if he wasn't home. And if he was home, he would wash them. And Dolly would he said Mrs. Osterreich. So he'd always talk about her as, he never said Dolly anytime he mentioned it. It was always Mrs. Osterreich.
That kind of makes it kind of worse.
She never stopped being this authoritative figure towards him.
Yeah.
They weren't on first name basis. He also said he scrubbed the floor and kept it clean. He kept the floor neat, She loved to have a beautiful floor and dusted it, So he also said that he would make a lot of dinners, which Fred would then enjoy. He was actually in the attic so long that when he went in, you could still legally buy alcohol in the United States. But when prohibition kicked in, one of Otto's new duties was to make a bathtub full of gin for both himself and Dolly to stay lubricated for the old sex session.
Nice. Well, so they had him doing it all. So even though Otto Sanhuber was cooped up in the attic with only Dolly for company, in his mind, he escaped to his mind palace. He was off on all sorts of wild adventures. And hey, he did not keep those fantasies to himself. He did follow his dream. Listen, live your dream, stay up in that attic, be a slave. And he spent most of his time, his free time, whatever little free time Dolly allowed him, when she didn't have chores for him and shit to do. Jesus, like he had a fucking wife or something. he spent most of his free time writing pulp fiction stories. He would pass these tales and short stories on to Dolly, who would type them up whenever Fred wasn't around. And then Dolly would send them off to these pulp magazines back in the day. Like any aspiring writer, Otto's first attempts were met with those dreaded rejection slips, but Otto was not one to give up easily. After all, sure, what else would he be doing? Eventually, he did, in fact, manage to get some of his stories published under a pen name. Hmm. I wonder, do you think you can find them? Is it possible to find them? Are they still...
I tried to find them. I think there was just so many short pulp stories.
Right,
it
yeah,
was hard
yeah.
to kind of say what was
back
his.
In the day, they're... Yeah.
Because I really wanted to read them.
Yeah, I know. I wonder, all these stories are set in an attic for some reason. Now, you may be wondering how Fred remained completely oblivious to a man living in his attic for 5 entire years. Well... Fred, for one. He was a raging alcoholic, so we're not exactly dealing with the most perceptive guy here. But to be fair, Fred did notice, a few beard-scratching moments along the way. About a year into Otto's attic residency, Fred started getting spooked by some strange sounds. There was one night he was in bed with Dolly, right, when he swore he heard what sounded like a dude clearing his throat. You could just hear, like... Something wanking in up there. Seriously, somebody beating off. Dolly, though, always quick with an excuse, brushed it off. Told Fred, "You're just hearing things. Go back to sleep." But Fred was not buying it. He was convinced there was somebody in his house. There was something strange going on here. He had that feeling. However, Dolly just pulled one out of the old gaslighting playbook, suggested it's probably just a pesky rat or a mouse, or that Fred had one too many drinks. Classic move. You're drunk again. Just pulling that one.
I just imagine being in bed and just hear from like, do it. What was that? Nah, it's probably a mouse or something. Yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah.
There was one time, so when Dolly and Fred were going out one evening, Dolly, she left the trapdoor open. Oh, she'd leave the trapdoor open to the attic. And then when Otto, he heard the front door close, he would scurry downstairs and he'd gorge on like rye bread and cheeses and liverwurst and all that good German food.
Yeah.
But like Fred,
liverwurst.
But Fred, he would often wonder where all the food was going and why he was getting such meager portions of meat. When, like, only yesterday he'd seen a full roast on the dinner table, but Dolly would, once again, gaslighting him that he'd eaten it the night before when he was piss drunk.
Yeah. There was actually... You fat bastard. Eating all the food. It's like,
you
he's
ate
starving,
it.
Yeah.
Okay, most of it. There was one day when Fred was doing a bit of work in the garden and something caught his eye up at the window in the attic. He caught a brief glimpse of what appeared to be a figure before it swiftly disappeared from sight.
Which is actually quite... Like creepy.
Very creepy. Yeah.
You know?
So Fred, he ran inside shouting to Dolly that someone was in the attic. He knew it. Someone's in the house. But Dolly urged him to relax, suggesting that he's just overreacting to something he thought he'd seen. And she volunteered to investigate the attic herself. But despite Fred's insistence of going up, Dolly, she persisted. And in truth to form, she got her way. When she came down from the attic, she said in a real caring voice, "Fred... You've been working too hard at the factory. You're just seeing things. There's nothing up there. Promise me you go to a doctor."
Yeah. There's something mentally wrong with you. You know? You're not well.
Oh, that's a mouse again.
So over time, Fred continued to think he was going mad or even being haunted as he started to see shadows out of the corner of his eye at night and even noticed that some of his cigars were disappearing. Fred did eventually go to see a doctor who at one point said he was likely working at the factory too hard and told him to take it easy. And he also wrote him out a prescription for a tranquilizer to calm him down.
This actually was actually really good for Dolly because when he was on these tranquilizers...
He was out of it?
Completely out of it.
Yeah.
She was up to the attic.
Yeah. I imagine back in 1922, this tranquilizer was probably just, I don't know, hardcore
ketamine.
Drugs. Yeah, ketamine. Yeah. This is like the hardcore shit.
Yeah.
Good old days. However, this did not stop Fred's well-justified paranoia, and he decided that they would move out of their Milwaukee home and to Los Angeles. Now, you would think, right? I hear you barking, big dog, as you're listening to this. This would be a perfect chance for Dolly to spill the beans about the affair, to end it, set Otto free to do his own thing, right? This can't continue. They're moving across the entire country.
Yeah.
It was fun while it lasted.
Hmm.
That was it. No. You'd think that, but you'd be wrong. Dolly had no intention of ending things at all. Dolly told Fred she would move to California on one condition. The house must have an attic. A very peculiar demand, but hey, Fred's thinking, no skin off my sack as an attic or no. Attics are pretty common in houses, so that's not like a big deal. Mm-hmm. After all, as they say, happy wife, happy life. So he found a large, nice home with an attic on North St. Andrew's Place in an affluent part of town. And Otto didn't put up too much of a, hey, listen, California beats Wisconsin.
It didn't matter. He was in an attic.
Yeah, that's also true. He does not give a shit. He's not going to get out anyway. So later he would say that he was willing to live cooped up in attics in order to be near the only person in the entire world who cared, which is kind of sweet and very pathetic.
Yeah.
And so Otto went with them. He made his way out to LA and resumed his life of making love to Dolly and doing housework during the day. This then went on for another 4 years. So that is until the fateful day where we began on the evening of August 22nd, 1922. So yeah, Otto had been living combined in Dolly and Fred Ostrich's attic for 9 years in total, almost a decade,
yeah.
Living in, willingly,
willing,
living
yes,
in,
yeah,
the, in
yeah.
the attic.
Yeah.
As we mentioned at the beginning, on this particular evening, the Ostrichs had just arrived home after a night of partying with friends. They were dancing, they were drinking cocktails, if this was during the Prohibition or no, I don't know. They were listening to Ragtime, The Entertainer, all that good stuff.
Hmm.
And they were having a heated argument as they walked through the door, which Otto could hear from his attic dwell. And he was thinking, uh-oh, not my beautiful Dolly. Thinking Fred was attacking Dolly, Otto went down a little hole which actually led into the bedroom closet, where he found two of Fred's 25 caliber pistols. He grabbed them, dual-handed them, because he thought, I'm going to be a badass.
This is cool.
Yeah, I look so fucking cool right now. And he went through the kitchen to confront Fred. Fred was, as you can imagine, surprised to find a man in his house, and he tackled Otto and wrestled for the guns. In the struggle, the gun went off. The first bullet hit the ceiling. The next three bullets hit Fred directly in his chest, killing him instantly. The old, it actually went off four times, gag. Otto thought they could stage the scene to make it look like burglars had broken in and murdered Fred, panicking and thinking what to do, as people would have heard those gunshots, so they had to act fast. Surprisingly, Otto actually took charge this time, and a scared Dolly followed his lead. Otto removed the diamond-studded chain watch from Fred's body, then locked Dolly in a closet, dropped the key onto the floor, before hurrying back upstairs to his little hideout, scurrying away like a little rat. And yes, a neighbor alerted by the gunshots called the cops, who arrived promptly. They heard Dolly sobbing from behind the closet door in the couple's bedroom. The key lay on the carpet a few feet away from the door, and when the police got Dolly out, she said someone had broken in, shoved her in the chest, shot Fred, and stolen a bunch of valuables, including Fred's diamond watch.
Mm. Chief Detective Herman Klein, he was on the scene that night, and when he questioned Dolly, he had some suspicions about what really went down that night, based on the answers Dolly gave, and also the crime scene itself. So when he questioned her, he asked, "Did you and your husband ever quarrel?" To which Dolly replied, "Never." Even when he pressed, she remained firm that they'd never argued about anything, ever. Klein said he knew she must have been a liar and have something to hide, because all couples have the occasional fight. To be honest, I think this kind of says a bit more about Detective Klein's home life.
Yeah.
However, he also felt that the crime scene itself was odd. Only one item could be identified as missing, the husband's diamond-studded watch, which you mentioned. But Fred's wallet was still in his pocket and stuffed with cash, which seems like a very odd thing for a burglar to miss when he's robbing the place. Then, after the crime lab determined that Fred Osterreich was killed by a 25 caliber gun, Klein was convinced there was more to Dolly's story than this burglary tale. "No burglar uses a 25 caliber gun," he remarked. "Why, that's a woman's gun." Yeah.
No man would use this gun.
Again, I think this says a bit more about Klein than anything else. But in fairness to him, he was 100% correct with his suspicions.
Yeah.
So something was up. He's just going down the wrong path.
Exactly, yeah. Right church, wrong pew, or whatever. However, despite all these suspicions, efforts to establish Dolly's guilt were unsuccessful. a significant obstacle to accusing her of murdering her husband arose. Simply, it's like that locked room mystery. How could she have locked herself in the closet from the outside? They really just didn't have any evidence to challenge her story, and they had to let her go. Both Dolly and Otto had now gotten away with murder. Now that Fred was no longer around, hey, listen, they're free, finally. After 9 years of hiding their beautiful love affair, they were finally free.
They can be together.
Yes, in the open.
Yeah.
You know, one might assume Otto would move into the main house, formally be with Dolly. That's not what happened. Otto chose to remain in the attic.
Yeah.
I like the attic.
I am the attic.
I have become attic. In fact, even after Dolly left the house where her husband was killed, Otto followed her to a new house to live in her new attic. He was the attic man now. It's not clear why Otto would choose to stick with the same routine when they no longer needed to. However, Dolly's motive was apparent. See, Dolly, she had aspirations of her own. She started getting involved with a couple of different guys in town. Dolly started seeing a lawyer named Herman S. Shapiro and a guy named Roy Klum. It appears now she was only dating Roy Klum to help her get rid of the murder weapon. She claimed to have a gun similar to the one used by the robber who killed Fred and asked Klum to dispose of it to avoid implicating her in the murder. He tossed it into the La Brea tar pits. Why didn't she just get rid of the gun herself? Like, she could have, like, she didn't need to start a relationship with a guy and involve another guy.
And why did he agree to it?
Yeah, I never understood why she did this.
I wasn't able to confirm, but there was other reports, well, of the other gun. She got her neighbor to bury it in his rose bush. So she was just getting people to do things for her. Yeah. It's like, I'm not doing it.
She could easily just get rid of these guns herself where, A, nobody else would know. So you're involving more people in your scheme here.
Yeah,
because they know where the guns are. But you could easily just go to the Pacific Ocean and throw it in the, like.
Yeah, or go down to the tar pit yourself.
Yes, exactly.
I'm sure there's, like, so much shit in that tar pit.
Yeah. And as Dolly and Herman Shapiro's relationship blossomed, she surprised him with a diamond watch. The very one she claimed had been stolen by her husband's killer. When Shapiro questioned her about it, she casually mentioned finding it tucked under a couch cushion, dismissing the need to involve the police. Yeah, the killer stole it, and then he just chucked it under a couch and ran away. Look what I found. Meanwhile, Dolly had successfully used Klum for her purposes and promptly ended things with him. In a spiteful move, however, Roy Klum spilled the beans to the police about the gun he had disposed of in the tar pits for Dolly. This led to Dolly's arrest, based on Klum's account. Despite being in a rather sticky, I see what you did there, situation, they managed to fish the gun from the tar pits, and it was in no pretty rough shape. While awaiting her hearing, Dolly told Shapiro about her half-brother who lived in her attic and asked him to bring him groceries. She said all he had to do was tap on the ceiling of the bedroom closet to let him know and he should come out. So Shapiro went along with Dolly's request to feed her, quote, half-brother. However, after nearly a decade of limited human interaction, the floodgates of confession burst open when Otto finally had somebody to talk to who wasn't Dolly. Shapiro told Otto he should make a run for it, make his way up to Canada while he still could. Just run for your life, boy. Otto, however, was pretty reluctant to do this. But when Shapiro explained that him being there could negatively impact Dolly's case, if the police found out he had been living in the murder house the entire time, Otto packed his bags and made his escape to Vancouver, Canada. Otto, finally free, soon found a job working as a porter. He changed his name to Walter Klein and married a Canadian woman. After a time, he did return to Los Angeles with his wife, but we'll get there in a little bit. Meanwhile, in court, Dolly's lawyer moved for a dismissal of the murder charge. No weapon could be connected to the killing. There was no eyewitnesses nor confessions. Reappearance of the stolen watch, though mysterious, was insufficient evidence to support a murder case. And so with that, the judge had no choice but to dismiss the case. There really was no evidence there to charge with murder. Yeah. She had gotten a guy to get rid of her gun for her, which is the same as a murder weapon. But that's just circumstantial evidence, really. It appeared that the killing of Fred Oesterreich would remain an unsolved mystery. For now. Shapiro was apparently not bothered by the murder suspicion or the strange man in the attic. He decided to move in with Dolly, and Shapiro and Dolly enjoyed 7 blissful years together. However, their romance hit the rocks when they had a falling out over money. So, Herman Shapiro took a page from Roy Klum's playbook and sought revenge by spilling the beans to the cops about Dolly, Otto, and Fred's murder. Dolly found herself once again behind bars, and Otto, who had just returned from his Canadian getaway, was arrested by the LA police. He cannot ever go to the right place. Ever. He's always in the wrong place.
That's, like, I had no idea why he came out to LA.
Yeah.
And then I was like, thinking about it, I was like, he doesn't really know anywhere else.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
he knows
yeah.
Milwaukee, he knows LA, and he knows Vancouver.
Yeah.
And I was like, where do I move then? Nah, back to LA, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. His wife was Canadian. But if he just stayed up there, he would have been all right.
Yeah.
Anyway. The media had a frenzy covering the sensational case. Otto earned nicknames like the Batman and the Ghost in the Garret. Otto admitted to the killing, but argued it occurred in a struggle over his guns. He pleaded not guilty by reason of insanity. He admitted to killing, but said I was insane when I did.
Yeah.
His defense played on the... Well, he definitely was insane, let's be honest. Yeah. Supposed to be, yeah. His defense played on the jury sympathies, portraying him as a pawn in the hands of a much older, sophisticated, and dominant woman. In the courtroom, however, Otto was no longer the fresh-faced teen who had caught Dolly's eye. He was now a sallow complexion, unremarkable, middle-aged man with a receding hairline, round, black horn-rimmed spectacles, and a nervous twitch, which made him appear pitiable.
In court, Otto, he testified about the nature of their relationship, which really outlined how much power Dolly had over him. He explained that when they had disagreements, he would starve himself as a way of protesting, and I guess I kind of take him back whatever little bit of control he had over his life. He had nothing else. Like, this is the only thing that he could control. When he would need anything, he would stay up in the attic space and only come down when he was needed for chores, but not for anything else.
Yeah.
Wink, wink. Eventually, Dolly, she'd feel sorry for him and would leave food outside the trapdoor as a gesture of goodwill. But eventually, she would become annoyed at him, at which point Otto would say that he'd have to behave himself. When the lawyer asked, did that have anything to do with sex? Otto replied, yes, sir, as a rule. So... Man, she's like a succubus.
Yeah, she really is. Just sucking the very life energy out of him. The jury had sympathy after hearing how Dolly kept him locked up since he was a 17-year-old boy, essentially taking away any chance he ever had to have a normal life. In the end, the jury did not convict him of murder, but did find him guilty of manslaughter. But luck was on his side. The statute of limitations for manslaughter was 7 years, and it had now surpassed 8 years. He strolled out as a free man. Otto resumed his writing endeavors, and to everyone's knowledge, he did not resort to attic living anywhere else. Dolly's trial resulted in a hung jury, and the charges were eventually dismissed in 1936. She found another companion, and they lived together peacefully until her passing in 1961 at the age of 80. Ironically, living over a garage in a run-down section of LA. So she spent her final years living in a sort of an attic.
Mm.
And with that ends the bizarre story of Dolly the Naughty Vamp and Otto Sanhuber the Batman.
Oh, nice. Wild story. There was a movie written about it in 1995 called The Man in the Attic. The names... They were changed for the movie, but Neil Patrick Harris, he played who Otto would have been, and Ann Archer, who was Barbara in It's Always Sunny.
Which one's Barbara in Always Sunny?
Dennis's mum.
Oh, she even in It's Always Sunny, she kind of plays a similar character to Dolly, actually.
Yeah. So you can really see it.
Yeah.
She played who Dolly would have been, the older woman who hides her younger lover in the attic of the house for years without her husband suspecting.
Ah.
Yeah. But another silver lining, I guess, to this for Otto. So as bad as living in the attic for Otto would have been, the United States, they'd entered World War I in 1917. And he likely would have been drafted if not for hiding away in a sex-crazed lady's attic. Silver linings and all that.
Well, hey, yes. He could have been killed in the trenches if not for Dolly. So,
Listen,
you got to thank her for something.
Look, it's either Flanders or the attic. That's okay.
Exactly.
There's no in between.
I'll choose the attic. I actually want to, before we end this whole episode, I got to thank a podcast listener who emailed me before we were covering this. So they had no idea we were actually going to cover this story. Their name is Essie. And they emailed me a story, just sent me an email with a short blurb of Alabama's discount Dolly Ostrich, which is very interesting because they sent me this email a couple of days ago.
No way. Okay.
Before we were recording this one. So I don't have the full story here, so I'm just going to give the cliff notes. But this happened very recently I'm actually reading news reports here in front of me, so I'm not going to do a great job of covering this. But this happened just in 2021 in Alabama. So this is it's like the Ostrich story, only there's a lot of meth involved. There was Frank and his wife, Tracy. Frank Reeves and his wife, Tracy. Okay, let me read you out just a couple of sections of these news reports. Yeah. So an Alabama man was shot in the chest and injured in a gunfight with his wife's lover, who had secretly been living in their home for over a year. So very similar to the Ostreich story of Fred, Dolly, and Otto, only it was Frank, his wife, Tracy, and then her lover, Michael Amaker, and they were all high on meth.
Oh, okay.
And Michael, it turns out, had been living in Frank and Tracy's home for over a year. But again, it seems that Frank, the husband, never noticed because he was high on meth.
Right. Yeah.
And then he was able to keep his presence in the home a secret because Tracy provided him with food when he needed it. He also stayed hidden by urinating in bottles, limiting his trips to the bathroom. Police actually later found bottles of urine in a room where he had been living. And it seems that what happened here is that Tracy, again, all these reports are kind of very vague because the police, when they went to the scene of this house in Alabama, they're also high on meth. Everybody was basically incoherent, quote, too intoxicated and incoherent to be interviewed at the scene. But it appears something like this, that Tracy, she told her boyfriend that her husband was an intruder.
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah.
So it was a murder for hire of getting her boyfriend to kill the husband who lived in the house the entire time.
Right, okay.
This makes no sense.
Meth husband.
Here's what the Mobile County Sheriff's Captain Paul Birch had to say. People that are on meth, you really can't apply a normal rationale to their thought process, so you always have to take that into account as well. Not only do they have paranoia, they can't keep their mouth shut. So if there was some kind of a diabolical plan, it is very possible Michael Amaker, who is the live-in boyfriend, has told some other people. He also said this is one of the most bizarre cases he's ever seen. I've still yet to figure out how somebody can be staying in your house and you do not know it. It's something I haven't seen in 30 plus years. Apparently, this Michael Amaker is well known in the meth community. He's been arrested multiple times. They've all been arrested. So the husband and the boyfriend shot each other, but it seems they both have survived. If you look at pictures of them, they... Do you know Breaking Bad, the meth characters? The character actors is what they call them.
Right.
They all look like them.
Okay.
And most recently, which was in September of just gone, an arrest warrant has been issued for Michael Amaker because he fled. He failed to show up to trial.
Right, right.
So there you have. It's kind of similar to the Australian one. Only imagine they're all on meth.
Yeah.
And they're all redneck trailer trash, whatever these people are.
It's like the updated version. Like if they're kind of...
Yeah, modern version.
If they're like, redo the movies type thing. In modern day, you know?
Yeah. So here's what happened. On the night of the shooting, Reeves' husband, Frank, was loading the car ahead of a planned trip to the beach. Then Tracy ran out of the house saying there was an intruder. Then her husband, Frank Reeves, ran into the house and Michael Amaker and Frank Reeves shot each other and injured each other. So... This is, as the sheriff even said, this makes no sense.
I just really like the idea that the med heads are still planning trips to the beach.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, it was sun's out, guns out.
Yeah,
you know
what
I'm saying?
You gotta still have fun. Like.
So this Tracy woman was hiding her husband or her boyfriend, Michael Amaker, in the house. He was pissing in bottles, which is a little, I mean, I think even Otto had it better than
He had a piss bottle.
Yeah. And then Frank was outside. Her husband was outside packing up the car. She went inside, told her boyfriend there's an intruder coming into the house. She ran outside, told her husband, there's an intruder already in the house. Mm. They ran inside and shot each other, thinking the other was the intruder.
Right.
Yep. Hey, listen, meth, not even once. But there you have it. Shanae, folks, thank you so much for listening to me and Keith. I hope you enjoyed this whole episode of the That Chapter podcast. That was good. I enjoyed that one.
Pretty fun. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, Keith, give us your final thoughts as, you know, we'd like you to do.
I guess all this talk of men in the attic. I think I might go home and check my own attic.
Good. Spooky attic. You have the horror. You don't have a man. You have a ghost in the attic. Man ghost, maybe.
I hope it's not a man. If it is a man, I need to have some stern words because Otto was at least cleaning the place.
Yeah, he was at least doing something.
My head's still dirty.
Yeah, making gin in the bathroom. So. Have you actually had any ghost encounters? Encounters of the ghostly attic kind lately?
None yet.
Chilled out.
Nothing noteworthy on me. Like, still like the bumps in the night, but like nothing like.
Yeah,
nothing to write home about.
Yeah, well, yeah. Too bad.
I know. Yeah.
Well, let's hope the ghost gets his act together and starts scaring you again. All right.
Sounds good.
To the next one.
See ya.
Thanks. See, funnily enough, by the way, Fred, German immigrant, his surname Österreich means Austria.
Huh?
So which is it, Fred, you piece of shit?
Get your story straight.
Yeah, do you think, should we go all Elliot Stabler on the characters in our stories from now on? It's like, you fucking animal, which is it? It's like, start beating him around.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We were talking about this the other day. SVU rules.
Oh, man, Stabler, he's so unstable.
Oh, I love unstable, it. He's Stabler. Like, the things he does to the suspects at SVU is like, he should have been fired.
Yeah.
Long, he beats them up regularly. He lies to them. He blackmails them. And these half time, they're innocent people.
Yeah, like, we were talking about it last week, and there was one scene where he was interrogating someone. He was like, I'm going to rip your cherry ass apart. That's not okay, sir.
He's like, shouting, are you fucking piece of shit? Like, slamming him into the wall.
I thought he was even guilty in the end.
He rocks.